When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. Many thanks to Bob Garner, who's the events coordinator with the Hoosier Gym. He was our first guest this morning. And we have Tim Newton coming up here in about 5 minutes from Purdue. Let's take a look at some high school football results from last night. We have high school football coming up on this station at 10 o'clock this morning as Trader Point Christian is at Clinton Prairie. In the Sagamore last night, Frankfort was lost to Tri-West by a score of 50-14. North Montgomery had defeated Southmont 28-6. Southmont plays Frankfort here next weekend. Southmont will come in at 1-1, and Frankfort is 1-2. Also, Western Boone got their first win last night. They defeated Crawfordsville by a score of 48-14. Over in the Hoosier Heartland, this shocked me. I don't know why it did, but I didn't realize that maybe they're back to where they were a few years ago when George Gilbert was coaching them. Tri-Central went into Sheridan and shut out the Blackhawks by a score of 21-0. Carroll defeated Taylor by a score of 56-28, and Eastern got past Delphi in what seems like a pretty good game, 38-35. Clinton Central had the week off, but they'll be playing next Saturday at 6 o'clock as they're going to host Frontier, who is 2-0 going into their game this afternoon. Over in the Hoosier Conference last night, Central Catholic got off. They started their season. They missed the first two games because of the coronavirus. They shut out Northwestern by a score of 38-0. It was Heritage Christian over Tipton by a score of 27-17. West Lafayette defeated Hamilton Heights 49-14, and that sets up the big win next Friday as Central Catholic plays at West Lafayette. That should be a fun game to watch. West Lafayette is 2-1. Central Catholic, of course, just had their first game of the season. Cass defeated Benton Central 19-13, and Western remained undefeated as they defeated Rensselaer by a score of 33-14. Other scores from the area last night, it was Covington over North Vermilion 52-22. Harrison blanked Logansport 54-0. Lafayette Jeff did a whitewash of McCutcheon by a score of 49-0. Marion got past Kokomo 7-6. New Haven defeated Pioneer 32-28. North Judson defeated North Newton by a score of 34-12. Tri-County down West Central 27-22. And Winnemac shut out North White by a score of 42-0. Looking at quickly at some pro sports here from last night. Major League Baseball, real quick here. The Cubs defeated the Cardinals by a score of 4-1. The Reds split a twin bill with Pittsburgh. They lost game 1-4-3 and won the second game by a score of 4-2. White Sox defeated Kansas City 7-4. NBA playoffs, Miami took a 3-0 lead on Milwaukee as they defeated the Bucks 115-100. And the Rockets all they needed is win that first series. They opened up with a 112-97 victory over the Lakers in their first game of that West final or semifinal last night. NHL last night, two game sevens. Dallas defeated Colorado 5-4 in overtime. They win that series 4-3. Vegas defeated Vancouver 3-0. They win that series 4-3. Now they get to play each other in the conference final. Games today, Cubs and Cardinals have got a twin bill today, 5:15 and 8:15 at the start. White Sox are at Kansas City. That game starts at 7:05. NBA tonight, we have Toronto and Boston getting together. Celtics lead that East semifinal 2-1. And Denver and L.A. Clippers get together with the Clippers leading that one 1-0. Game 7 in the NHL tonight has the Islanders at Philadelphia. That series is tied at 3 games apiece. And believe it or not, the road run for the Roses is I don't know if I'll call this late this afternoon or early night. They say 7:01 post time. The Kentucky Derby down at Louisville today at Churchill Downs. Post time, 7:01. We're going to take a quick break now and get Tim Newton on the line. You are listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good but not great drivers?
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight-up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When you need to know.
This has nothing to do with what's going on taking water or sewage to State Road 28. This is just what we have presently in our city that we need to work on.
On the air first when seconds count.
We discuss our staff that have symptoms. Our students that have symptoms. We spend time with the health department. We spend time with the other superintendents. So much of our day, the topic is COVID.
The news team you've come to depend on.
Normally we would ask for more than that, but just to be conservative this year. But on all the budgets, I feel like we've been very conservative and very diligent in filling out our budgets this year.
Clinton County's 24-hour news media.
At the very least, getting the roundhouse cleaned up, but again, trying to preserve the machine shop is what I think is the absolute priority right now.
When you need to know, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. A reminder coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. We've got a high school football contest over at Clinton Prairie as the Gophers will host Traders Point Christian. Kickoff is at 10 o'clock. Don Stock and Carl Kirchhoff on the call. We're going to be joined right now by Purdue play-by-play guy, Tim Newton. And Tim's kind of upset because we haven't got any football going on, do we, Tim?
Ben, I never thought I'd say these words on a September morning, but I'd rather be in Lincoln, Nebraska today. that's where we were scheduled to be to open the 2020 season, and unfortunately I'm sitting in my living room looking at the trees.
So how different is this for you guys?
You know, I think one of the hardest parts not only is not having football to talk about and to work toward, but since this all started happening in the spring. It was the summer of uncertainty because we didn't know, are we going to play football? And then we got a new schedule, and then less than a week later, that new schedule was gone, and now you really don't know where you are. So it's a very strange situation for us. I'm sure it's a strange situation for the players, the coaches. I've been on campus this week, and it's certainly a different feeling on campus, as I'm sure it is in schools around the state and around the country. I think people are apprehensive and just wondering what's going to happen next, and can we get through a full semester without having to shut down?
What's been your thoughts on how the Big Ten has been going here back and forth, the conversation with Trump and everything else? What do you make out of all of this, besides the soap opera, it seems like?
Well, it's hard to know what to make of it because you don't know. I think you can probably figure that at least 50%, if not 90%, if not 95% of what you're hearing and reading is wrong. I can tell you this, that I know that the Big Ten is meeting. I know that they're having conversations on a daily basis about what they can do to move forward. The decision not to play football and not to play any fall sports was made essentially by 14 people, and that is the presidents and chancellors mm-hmm. of the 14 Big Ten institutions, which are spread over 11 different states. And it's been well publicized what the vote was on that, and there have to be, and for that conference, for our conference, there have to be 60% basically that agree on the decision for it to go forward. So, what they're waiting for now, what they're trying to work for now, is to get to a situation where those 14 people are comfortable that the protocols in place for testing, for contact tracing, and for all the things that are related to this virus are at a point where they feel comfortable to play. I think where the Big Ten, and I don't have access to the information that they do, nor do 99% of the people that are trying to talk about this. And it's interesting too that you have five, we all know the five power conferences, two are not playing, three are playing. Are they looking at the same data? Do they have the same criteria? That's something that only they know. I think where things got away from the Big Ten somewhat was just in the messaging and really in the communication. And we talked about the timeline a second ago. We had a new schedule that came out. And then 6 days later, you announced that you weren't playing football. What changed in those 6 days?
Right.
And I think that there was a poor job that the conference did, not just in that timeline, but also in talking to their own people. I think the decision, when it was made to not play, caught some coaches, some athletic directors. If it didn't catch them off guard, it was certainly a decision they did not agree with at that point. I think the consensus I've heard from the people I've talked to is that they wonder why the Big Ten didn't at least wait like some of the other conferences to see what was going to happen, to see what was changing. Now, I've talked to people who know a lot more about this than I do that tell me that there was really nothing that changed or would have changed in that window that we're talking about, and they believe that the decision the Big Ten came to was one that they would have made even if they had waited. So we're not going to get football until those chancellors and those presidents are convinced that it's the right thing to do. And I don't think that's happening. I don't think that's happening in 2020.
I think
it does have a chance to happen in 2021. Now, again, are you looking at a January, February thing where you can play indoors somewhere? Are you looking at a March, April, and you've got issues with that? Because then that affects the 2021 season. And the one thing I think, no matter what, is that everybody wants to make sure that we can play a full, uninterrupted 2021 season so that this doesn't bleed into two different seasons.
You know, and the other thing, the vote not to play was 11-3. So that means, if my math is correct, we're going to have 9 vote positive to play, correct?
That is correct.
That's what I thought, because eight won't be enough.
No, you have to have 9 And, you know, then, unfortunately, and I think this is the case since this started, it's hard to talk about this. It's hard for people to discuss this without it becoming political. And then you start looking at who's governing which states and blah, 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 blah. It's a mess. And it's unfortunate. You feel there are a lot of people you feel for. You certainly feel for the seniors who may or may not be able to play their last season of football. And really you feel for everybody in the athletic departments involved, because here at Purdue, people are being furloughed and having their salaries reduced. But you're looking around the country. I saw this week that Texas laid off 35 people in their athletic staff. Michigan just laid off between 20 and 25 people. And people's lives are being affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the case certainly in and out of athletics. I don't want to just centralize this to a It's more than just an athletics problem, but the 2020 football season certainly has been a casualty. But the casualty, unfortunately, goes far beyond in terms of its impact on college athletics far beyond this season.
What was your thoughts when Jeff Brohm proposed having two football seasons in 21?
You know, I thought it was, if you looked at his plan, and I went through all 7 or 8 pages of it.
I've got it right here in front of me, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he put a lot of thought into it, and the thing that we were all worried about, and I think everybody has been concerned about, is the optics and also the physical toll of playing two football seasons in one calendar year. And I think that still is a legitimate concern.
Mm-hmm.
I think his plan is as good as any other that I've seen. And I think the one consideration that we have to look at, and I think that there are a lot of coaches, and I know Ryan Day from Ohio State is one who's really been pushing this January, February. And the reason is, if we don't play until March or April, 10 or 15 or 20 of his guys are going to opt out.
Right.
You know, Ohio State's got an entire team that can be drafted. And Nick Saban has talked about that being the JV schedule. I think that there is some truth to that. If we don't play football until March, there are going to be a large amount of people who are draft eligible or who think they can play in the NFL are going to say, forget it. I'm just going to get ready for the draft. I'm not going to take the chance that I get hurt before the draft. The problem with playing indoors in January and February is how do you go to the Vikings and say, well, we need your facility for 4 weekends in January. And they're going to say, well, we're in the limit now. We can make the playoffs. And we can't give you the facility for 4 weeks in January. So there are a lot of logistics to work out. Jeff's plan, though, looking at all the other options, I think is as good as any. I'm still concerned that the optics of playing two football seasons in one calendar year are a lot for a sport that is a very violent sport.
You know, I think Rondale Moore, when he made his decision as early as he did, I think he kind of figured that out, that, you know, if we don't play till the spring, there's no way I'm going to be playing because I'm going to be drafted.
Yeah, and you know, I think we've known from the first day that Rondale got here, he was going to be a 3-year guy. I mean, Rondale's dream has been to play in the NFL, and certainly he's put himself in a position to be able to do that. I think once it became apparent that fall football was unlikely, that was the end of Rondale's career at Purdue. And, yeah, I have to give him credit. He has set himself up to graduate in 3 years, so he's going to leave Purdue with not only a college degree but probably a first-round NFL draft selection. And, you know, we wish him nothing but the best. And he's a guy that even though you only got to see him for 14 games, I think he had a large impact on Purdue football going forward because he kind of made Purdue football cool the same way that Carson Edwards made Purdue basketball cool. And you can attract a whole different kind of person to come in or a whole different breed of athletes to come in when they see the success that people have at Purdue, a place that traditionally, you know, I think there are a lot of adjectives that describe our programs and our university. I don't know if cool was one of those, but all of a sudden it was. And so I think we owe a lot to guys like Carson Edwards and Rondale Moore.
Do you see him more as a wide receiver or a kick returner in the NFL?
I think he can be a slot receiver in the NFL. Certainly he's going to have a career as a kick returner, but you put him in a system like Andy Reid runs in Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
and I could see him running wild. You're going to bring him in motion, run him on jet sweeps. He can play. He can play at that level, and I think he can be a very productive receiver and a kick returner. I would see him playing both. I think he's going to be a real asset, and I'd be shocked if he's not a first-round selection, and I'd be surprised if he's not an upper half of the first-round selection.
When you were talking about the Dome stadiums, the four of them are what? Minneapolis, Detroit, Indianapolis, and...
And St. Louis.
Okay.
St. Louis, that would be the one that wouldn't have to worry about because, you know, they don't have a pro football team.
Well, Detroit ain't going to be good enough to make it, so I don't think I have to worry about it.
Well, that's, you know, we've kind of internally joked, you can cross them off. it's, you know, then the other situation, though, is, okay, we hope we play college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to start probably in January. It's possible we could start that in November. I seriously doubt we're going to see any Purdue athletic competition in the 2020 calendar year. There's a chance with basketball, but I think it's more likely. So let's say you're going to try and play a basketball season, and maybe it's a conference only. I mean, who knows? You could play a 26-game basketball season in the Big Ten. You play each of 13 teams twice.
Right.
Okay, so now I'm going to try and squeeze that into January and February and a college football season. There are only so many TV slots, and there's only so much, you know, we don't know if there are going to be any fans. I don't think the fans would be as much of an issue in the domes because you're probably not going to travel people if they allow people in at all. But are you going to have fans at basketball games? And if so, are people going to be able to, if you're playing basketball on football on Saturday, basketball Sunday, how much entertainment dollar and how much time does somebody have to spend to go and watch those things?
So do you think the bubble situation would work or not? I don't know. I don't think it will because you're going to have to rent it an awful lot of times to go to a specific spot and play.
Yeah, I don't see a bubble happening. And I think that, again, I go back to optics. If we're saying these are student-athletes, and then we're going to say, but we're going to put you in a bubble for 3 months so you can play basketball and make us a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you make that.
That doesn't even ring right.
No, it doesn't.
So, Tim, is there anything else we want to bring up before we let you go?
No, I just think, you know, again, I'm sitting here on a day that's really a beautiful day here. I checked the weather in Lincoln, Nebraska, by the way. It's supposed to be 95 degrees there today.
Be a little warm.
100 degrees there tomorrow. And then Tuesday, the high will be 50 with 25-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah, so, I knew there was a big cold front coming through the country. I knew that. I didn't know where it was exactly, but I knew it was coming. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll just keep seeing what happens, and we'll just go accordingly, okay?
Just everybody, you know, the big thing is stay healthy, and we will eventually get through this. It's just we wish we could accelerate it a little bit more.
I totally agree with you. Tim, thanks much for the time. Greatly appreciated it. You take care, and we will we'll see you a little further down the line, okay?
All right. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Bye-bye. That was been Tim Newton, who's the play-by-play guy over at Purdue University, and he's, like the rest of it, he's missing his Purdue football, which would have been out at Lincoln, Nebraska today. So that's just the way it's going right now. That's going to wrap it up for the show today. Reminder, we have high school football for you coming up at 10 o'clock as Clinton Prairie hosts Traders Point Christian. As we said, it's going to wrap it up for this week's show. Thanks to our guests and to our sponsors, our State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. So until next week, when you join us for another Inside the Huddle, this is Ken Hartman. Take care and have a great week.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, and Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.